Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Deuteronomy with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Deuteronomy chapter 11, where we see Pastor Dave talking about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, both in the church, in the Bible times, but also how he speaks to us today is a testament for how he works in and through our lives as we wait for the promise of his coming. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Deuteronomy chapter 11.
Well, let's open our Bibles tonight to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11, and I'm thinking we're just going to take one chapter tonight and allow the Lord to minister to our hearts. I don't know if you've noticed this yet, and I don't know if you're reading ahead, but Deuteronomy is certainly a book of redundancy. There's a lot of repetition. The Lord is certainly saying things to us over and over again. And you don't think it's because he messed up, do you? No, we messed up, and we're messed up. And so he needs to speak the same things to us time and time again to reinforce it into our hearts and into our minds. And so we'll slowly journey through here. Deuteronomy chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. Let's bow our heads and our hearts before the Lord again in prayer. Father, we come to you now expectantly. We come believing, Lord, that you are in the midst of us, your people. Lord, your word declares that when two or three are gathered in your name, you are there in the center. And Jesus, we are trusting and believing by faith that you are here tonight, ready, and not just ready, but willing to work in our lives, Lord. And so I pray that you would take the foolishness of my preaching, the inadequacy of my words, Lord, to penetrate the depths, Lord, of each being that is here tonight. Lord Jesus, that you would just speak to the hearts of every person on this lawn, every person that has come out tonight, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to them in a greater way. If anyone here is stumbled right now, if anyone here is feeling bad, just ripped off, distracted, I pray that you would free them up from those thoughts, Lord, so that they can hear your voice tonight. Lord, if I've hindered your gospel from going forth anyway, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I want to be a vessel in your hands, Lord, worthy to bring you honor and glory and praise. So please, Lord, let this be a sanctified hour. Let this be a time of just tranquility and just ministry by your Spirit now. In Jesus' name, all God's people agreed and said, amen. Deuteronomy chapter 11, connected to chapter 10, really. As I mentioned to you last week, there's about five sermons here comprised in this book of Deuteronomy that Moses is given to the second generation of Israelites. They're just about to cross over the Jordan and inherit the land of Canaan, the promised land, as a gift from God to them as a people of some 2 to 3 million. And so they're there on the other side of the Jordan, camped out, looking over at the land that would be theirs. And Moses is going to sort of give them his last words, his heart, before they make that journey into the land. And this is the second sermon. We're in the middle of the second sermon of five that, again, make up this book of Deuteronomy. So Deuteronomy 11, verse 1 reads, "Therefore, you," speaking to the Israelites, "you shall love the Lord your God, and you shall keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always. And know you this day," verse 2, "for I speak not with your children which have not known." And that's sort of an important place for us to pause for just a moment. So many times when the Lord's speaking to us, we're in a Bible study. If we're parents, we're thinking, man, I wish my son or daughter was here right now. I wish they were here to hear this word from the Lord. They need to hear this. Or if you're not a parent yet, maybe you're thinking, man, I wish my husband or wife was here right now. They really need to hear this. And if you're not married yet, maybe you're thinking, I wish my boyfriend was here, my girlfriend was here, so-and-so, a friend of mine was here. They really need to hear this. And that is the case. Sometimes God will use you to relay a message that was given at Bible study to so-and-so. But the Lord wants your heart first and foremost. The Lord wants to speak to you directly, always. A message that is given is never completely always for somebody else. There's always going to be something. If it's taught from God's word and it's anointed by God's Spirit, there's always going to be something for you as an individual. So what I ask of you as we make our way through this chapter is that you'd be asking the Lord, in your heart, Lord, what do you have for me right now? What do you want to speak to me? And that you would sort of forget about other people that you feel are troubled or less spiritual, and that they need a word from Jesus, that you'd be focused on the word that Jesus has for you. As he says to the nation of Israel of old, he says, listen, this is for you. This isn't for your kids. They weren't there. This is for you. And so is the word of the Lord tonight. This message, it says, is not for those who don't know, middle verse 2, or have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, his stretched out arm. And as we move through here, you're going to notice these personal pronouns, his, these descriptive statements given of our Lord. It says, in his miracles, verse 3, and his acts, which he did in the midst of Egypt, unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and unto all of his land. Notice it says in verse 4, and what he did unto the army of Egypt, unto their horses, unto their chariots, how he made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you, and how the Lord has destroyed them unto this day, and what he did, verse 5, unto you in the wilderness, until you came to this place, and what he did, verse 6, unto Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the sons of Reuben, how the earth opened their mouth and swallowed them up, and their households and their tents and all of their substance that was in their possession in the midst of all of Israel. But your eyes, verse 7, have seen all the great acts of the Lord, which he did. That's what this is. That's what church is all about. We're commemorating and celebrating the work of Jesus, what he has done. We haven't done anything but believe. Isn't that true? We just have placed our faith and trust in Jesus because of the word that he has given to us from him. Everything of our salvation, everything that has to do with our spiritual riches comes from the hand of Jesus. It's all his work. It's everything Jesus. All we've done is believe. Amen? And that's important to remember here as we see these opening verses. Moses says, hey, you got to remember this whole thing here. This whole deliverance from Egypt, deliverance from Pharaoh, miraculous experiences that you've had in the wilderness, food falling from the sky, the sea parting, burying Egypt's army, all of these things. This is all the handiwork of God. All God. And it's important that we glorify his name and his name alone. Therefore, verse 8, based on it being God, he says, you shall keep all of the commandments which I command you this day, that you might be strong, and that you might go in and possess the land where you go to possess it, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them, a land to their seed, a land that flows with milk and honey. Verse 10. For the land where you go in to possess, it is not as the land of Egypt. It's different from where you came from. From where you came out of, where you sowed your seed, middle verse 10, and where you watered it with your foot as a garden of herbs. But the land where you go, verse 11, to possess it, it is a land of hills and valleys, and it drinketh water of the rain of heaven. Some important things to note here. Hey, you're leaving Egypt, and you're heading into Canaan. Canaan is nothing like Egypt. Egypt is flat and dry, and it's desert. In the whole of Egypt, they accumulate less than an inch of rain a year. You're leaving a land that is nothing like Canaan, a land of hills and valleys that is plenteous of rain. You're leaving the desert, and you're entering into this land that is going to be rich in nutrients in the ground, vastly different. He says back in Egypt, in verse 10, you watered the ground with your foot. By the sweat of your brow, you labored to irrigate your farms and your crops and those things, your gardens that you were seeking to grow your fruits and your vegetables from. Literally, the Egyptians, they had this device that they created that was similar to, or would be similar to, like a bicycle that you would pedal your feet with. And there would be a slave, a Jew, that would use their feet to sort of pedal and use the paddles to draw in water from the Nile River. And they would bring these buckets of water, and then they would transport them to their fields and to their gardens to sufficiently give them the nutrients that they would need to grow their crops and such. It was all manual labor. They had to produce this, you know, endeavor to bring water to the land that needed it. God says, when you get to Canaan, the land that I'm going to give to you, you're not going to have to do anything. The rain is going to come down from heaven. I'm going to provide it. And the nutrients in the rain are so much better than any water that you can go and get there on earth. My nutrients that fall from heaven, they're going to be sufficient. And they're going to be wonderful to make the land that you enter into prosperous for you, to feed you, and to provide for you, for your families. And so God's saying here, what I have in store in Canaan is so much better than what you've experienced in Egypt. And there's great application there, isn't there, for you and I here tonight. When you come to Jesus, it's so much better. What you experience in him, his riches and his goodness compared to Egypt that he delivers you from. But there's also something greater here. There's a picture that I want to reveal to you that I think is important that we see. There's a difference. God's drawing a line here between the work of the flesh and the work of the Spirit. It's prophesied in Jeremiah, Hosea, and other places in the Old Testament that in the latter days, he would send a latter rain. God would send a latter rain, speaking of his Holy Spirit. And there's an application here of folks who are endeavoring to serve the Lord and do things on behalf of God and his kingdom in the flesh. They're having to pump themselves up like the Israelites would have to pump the water out of the Nile. They're doing it through their own ingenuity and energy to bring about whatever it is that they're seeking to do for the Lord. Versus having God's Spirit just flood upon us, come upon us like rain. Doing it through the Spirit. There's a big difference between the two. Serving Jesus, building a church. And as you look around at churches and you watch people in different ministries serving the Lord, you know, there's a difference when they're doing it in the flesh and doing it in their own strength by the sweat of their brow versus the Holy Spirit just coming upon them and anointing them. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know, I've been to churches recently. I've spoke with folks, and there's people, they have teams on staff at churches. How do we get the next generation? What could we do to be culturally relevant? How do we, you know, reach these people? What could we do differently besides the Word of God? And there's such a great danger in beginning to think that way. You know, maybe if we show movies here, maybe if we begin to play such and such games here, just deviate from the Word a little bit, we'll still have a place for the Word, but just a little bit so that we can grow our church. And that's a work of the flesh. That's by the sweat of the brow. That's pumping yourself up to accomplish the work that needs to get done versus the Holy Spirit just coming upon you like rain. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you like rain, it's amazing. It's amazing what Jesus could do in and through his bride. When it's a work of the Holy Spirit, I mean, that's when the gates of hell can't prevail. When it's really God's Spirit who's propelling the movement, God's Spirit who's doing the work. When man says, hey, I've got nothing to offer. I'm a bonehead at best. I'm not clever at all. I don't have any special talents or giftings apart from Jesus, man. It's got to be him. If he doesn't go, I'm not going. If he's not in it, I don't want to do it. And it's the person or the people, or the ministry, the work, the church that has this type of mentality, man, that's when you see God move. Amen? You see God move. Now listen, how does this apply to you? What do you do with this as just a person who goes to church? You're not pastors, you're not starting your church. Well, you apply this to your service to the Lord. How you serve the Lord, whether it's a cafe worker, a bookstore worker, a toddler nursery room caretaker, a children's church teacher, an usher, greeter, sound ministry, wherever you are teaching the children, the worship ministry, you always just want to make sure you're saying, God, let me serve you. Let me go about your business under the anointing of your Spirit, and let it be nothing of myself. Let it be, Lord, that it's your rain that's coming upon me and not me pumping myself up to serve you. I honest to God pray every time I take the platform or the patio. I always pray, God, if you're not going to go, I don't want to go. You come with me and you give me the words to speak, Lord. I don't have any agenda. I don't have any plans. I don't have any notes, Lord. You just do what you want to do. And if you're not going to do it, Lord, if you're not here, if you're not going to show up, I'm out. When worship's going on, I'm going to sneak off to my car and I'm going to leave. The worship could just go on, Lord. Unless you show up, unless you build the house, we labor in vain. We need God's Spirit to come upon us. Listen, let me ask you a candid question tonight before we move on. As an individual believer in Jesus Christ, how many are here tonight? How many believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you raise your hands high in the sky? Very good. It seems like the vast majority. You don't have to raise your hand to this, but I ask that you would ask yourself honestly and be transparent before the Lord. Have you received the outpouring of God's Spirit? Have you had the Holy Spirit come upon you like rain? Would you turn with me to Joel chapter 2? Joel chapter 2. Sometimes pastors and teachers, preachers, including myself, we can complicate things that aren't really complicated at all. And we'll either overteach something or make things more wordy than they need to be. I'm going to try to be as basic and simple as possible with you tonight concerning the outpouring, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And if you need scriptures, I'll give them to you afterwards because we're not going to have the time to go to all of them. But when you come to Jesus Christ and you get saved, you know, right? I'm asking you this. You know that you didn't just wake up and decide that you want Jesus, right? You know that it was the Holy Spirit of God wooing you unto himself. Everybody agree? The Holy Spirit, we are told, is in this world right now, presently, convicting this world of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. So to prove this to you, if you're having a hard time understanding this, remember the last time you witnessed to somebody who rejected Jesus? You wondered, what in the world just happened? I did such a great job at sharing the gospel. I couldn't have been any more clear, and they still didn't get saved. What happened here? It's got to be a work of God's Spirit. It has to be the Holy Spirit. You can take the greatest evangelists and pair them up with the person you're trying to save. And if the Holy Spirit isn't enlightening them and showing them their need for a Savior, they're not going to get saved. That's why some of us here tonight are in Christ, and many that we love so much aren't. They have to be chosen by God. They have to be, based on his sovereignty, unveiled to the truth of their need for Jesus. Is everybody with me? So that's part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's working on your heart before you come to Jesus, showing you that you need a Savior, showing you that you are faulty, showing you that you are erroneous, showing you that you are sinful, and that ultimately, supremely, the only way that you can come to God is through his Son, Jesus Christ. Then after the Holy Spirit illuminates you and gets those walls knocked down in your heart between you and God, and after he reveals this truth to you, and you say, yes, it's true, Jesus, come into my life. When that happens, at that moment, the Holy Spirit now, he takes on a new relationship with you, and he dwells inside of you. The Holy Spirit now, he's not just without you, convicting you and showing your need for God, but now he comes inside of you. Everybody with me still? Now the Holy Spirit indwells you, we are told, until the day of redemption. You are sealed with the Spirit of God. He's that voice that convicts you. And he's that voice that speaks to you and tells you, hey, you shouldn't have talked to your wife like that. You handled your kid wrong. You got to go tell your employer that you didn't do your job the way you should have, and you got to do it right next time. He's the one who's molding you and shaping you into the image of Jesus, and he's working in your heart. That's the Holy Spirit's ministry. He's making you like Jesus. He's the one that when you open the Word of God, he illuminates it to you. He makes it make sense. Remember before you got saved and you tried reading the Bible? It was like, what in the world is this mystery book, right? But then when you come to Jesus and the veil is removed from your eyes, there's still times where you feel that way, but you begin to be able to understand and grow in the grace and knowledge of who your Lord is. True? Right? You're here tonight, things begin to make sense to you, at least a couple minutes of an hour message might make sense to you. That's the Holy Spirit within you. Your spirit bears witness, right? We're like-minded people because we have the same spirit within us. He's the common denominator. The numerator, look around. Man, it's vastly different. You got old, young, blonde, dark hair, black, white. I mean, you got everything here tonight. Numerator-wise, we're all vastly different. But denominator is Jesus, and it's his spirit within us that we have fellowship with one another. Everyone stay with me. So that's the Spirit now. He's within you. He's teaching you. He's molding you. He's shaping you. He's giving you understanding. But then there's another experience that you should have and could have with the Holy Ghost. Now, there are times where folks will have this experience, what I call, and the scriptures call, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, simultaneously with salvation. It seems as though that happened to Jesus. Remember when he was baptized in the water there in the Jordan, when he went down, and as he was coming back up, the heavens open, the Father spoke, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we are told the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. Remember that. And it was after the baptism there in the Jordan that Jesus began his earthly ministry. He was empowered by the Holy Ghost to serve God. That's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. That's what you and I need if we haven't experienced it already. Saying to the Lord, Lord, pour out your Spirit upon me. Okay, Lord, you were with me in the world, convicting me, showing me that I'm a sinner, that Jesus is the Savior. Lord, you're in me. I'm saved. I have you within my heart. I know that you're not going to ever let me go. But Lord, now I want you to come upon me. Now I want you to have me in your hands, Lord, for your service and for the work of the ministry, for building the kingdom. Everyone still with me? So in, with, upon. How the Holy Spirit is ministering to you tonight determines where you're at with him. If you're not saved, if you're not a Christian, and you just heard some loud Italian guy on the speaker, so you stopped by tonight, you need Jesus to come into your heart, and you need the Holy Ghost to tell you that's the truth. He's right now with you, speaking to you that this is indeed true. He's bearing witness with your soul that this is the truth. This is the truth. You need Jesus. If you're here tonight and you've already responded to that call and you're saved, he's within you, you know that what I'm saying to you is biblical. I'm showing you scriptures and you're being illuminated as we go. And that's where you need to say, Lord, now come upon me. And just like the rains from heaven, Lord, just descend upon me, Lord, your Spirit, so that I can be empowered and strengthened to live the Christian life and to serve you for my remaining days. That is what the church needs. That's what pastors should be preaching to their congregations. Listen, please, because I got a call the other day. Somebody misunderstood. I'm not knocking other churches, but I'm speaking to you so very candidly for your sake. What the church doesn't need right now, I'm not against small groups, but what the church doesn't need right now is small groups gathering in homes rehashing yesterday's manna. The church doesn't need us all to go break up and have coffee and biscuits and sit around on couches and rehash what I spoke about on Sunday. That's old manna. What the church needs right now is Bible studies through God's Word and the outpouring of God's Spirit. We need to gather together like this and get into the depths, the thick of God's Word, and get a good handle of it and understanding of it so that we can live fully for God's glory.
That concludes our message for today, here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com. to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.